Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
What came next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. As shared in part one of her story, Jordan is a mother and survivor from Florida. She originally reached out to the Broken Cycle Media team after hearing similarities between her journey and the journeys of the women from season 20 of Something Was Wrong. Jordan was compelled to share her experiences surviving catfishing, fraud, abuse, and stalking in order to offer awareness and community to others, as season 20 previously did for her. The Broken Cycle Media team is immensely grateful for Jordan's transparency and desire to continue our mission to support other survivors.
Come late May, I go back on my TikTok. I start seeing this one profile, and it was this guy, Josh. It was a very similar play of events with what had just happened with Mitch. Josh, he's telling me, come visit St. Pete and I'll meet you there. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. Nobody ever came down. His mom, I think, starts talking to me and they're like, he screwed up. He's not that type of person. Don't let this one thing happen. So I'm like, okay, I'll give him another chance. Something that was odd about Josh is he was always paying for food. He would send random groceries to my house at all points in time. I think I had my period one time and he sends all these chocolates and candies. There were like heat pads for menstrual cramps. Another time he sent steaks and crab legs. He would always ask, did you eat breakfast this morning? And I'm like, no, I didn't. So he'd send a whole breakfast to my office. This was like the whole time throughout us talking. Josh also had done the whole ring thing. Like, I want to marry you. I'm going to buy you a ring. I'm going to buy you a car. At this point, we still haven't met. And we never talked on the phone. At the time, I was going to an acupuncturist for stress-related things and back issues. He's a family friend of ours. The appointment was in May. I was telling Josh about it. And I'm like, oh, you should do this too. I gave him the information. The acupuncturist usually does like a phone interview beforehand just to see like what your issues are. I guess something in the phone interview clicked with him. When I went in for the next session, the acupuncturist told me, he's like, listen, something doesn't seem right about this guy. I know a scam when I see one, and he just seems like a scammer. It just doesn't seem right. You need to be careful. I never thought he would say something, but he did. And so after that, I brought it up to Josh and I was like, he thinks something's wrong. Did you say something to him? Josh was like, you don't need to see him again. So I didn't go back to him for a while. In June, Josh decided he was going to open a restaurant. And I'm like, I would love to help you design it. I'm actually doing renderings of these restaurants for him, picking out finishes and all kinds of things. So he's asking me for vendor information. And I'm like, okay, I have contacts. I can help you with that. I'm giving him some of my vendors and he would never get in touch with them. The vendors, I would give him a heads up, hey, this person's going to be reaching out to you. And it just made me look really bad in the end. Around June 20th, Josh let me talk to his son, Maddox, through text message. This kid would like message me morning, noon, and night. And he'd call me Ma because his story was that his mom wasn't very close or in his life. And he just wanted like a mom figure. So he would ask me personal questions like a kid would to their mom. We just had that mother-son bond connection. When Josh and I would fight, Maddox would be the one to pick up the pieces and be like, stop fighting. You guys are better than this. July, he had some friends that were Tampa natives and he was like really good friends with them. He's like, I really want you to meet them. They're going on the boat. We're going to go down to the bay and hang out for 4th of July. You should invite your parents. And at that point, he was talking to my dad about fishing. He's saying, bring your boats and come down. My sister and her husband, they were going to bring their boat and come over. And we were all going to just like have this cool family get together day. My sister comes over and everything, brings the boat, and Josh cancels last minute. I'm like, oh my gosh, how could you? I was pissed. After that, he wants to make it up. He's like, I'm sorry about the trip not happening. Why don't we go down to the Keys? Let's bring your parents. You could use my boat and we can all go fishing. And I'm like, okay, cool. Me and my parents, we book a hotel down in the Keys. It was their anniversary weekend. So we were going to go down there and just go fishing the night before. He's like, I can't come anymore. So then we didn't have a boat. Luckily, my brother-in-law had a boat, so we borrowed his. I was so upset. I was so pissed off and let down that he did this again. My parents and my sister were definitely telling me, you need to drop this person. Like, something's not right. We don't believe him. I was lying to them at a lot of points in time because you want to keep up this facade. My sister and my mom would be like, have you met him? And I'm like, oh yeah, I met him a couple times already. They did say stuff, but I just tended to ignore it because I'm like, yeah, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're not in this relationship. You don't understand him. You get very defensive. I think it was July. Josh finds out his mom has cancer. So I painted his mom a very inspirational angel painting because she liked angels. It had this quote on it. Josh told me that she was going to meet me. We're going to go out. So I go to have lunch with her. She doesn't meet up with me because Josh told her he doesn't want me and her talking. He doesn't want her to meet me. So she's got to listen to Josh and doesn't show up. I don't drive back. I get a hotel room and they're like, we'll pay for the hotel room. They don't end up paying. I had brought that painting to give to his mom. I had it and I had also bought some stuff for the kids that I was going to give to them. So I put it in a bag and I was like, I'll meet you up there. And he was still mad at me about something. I don't know what it was. And he's like, well, I'm going to be on the boat. And I said, okay, well, where's your truck parked? What ramp? So I go to the ramp. And his truck is there. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to leave it on the truck. I leave it on the truck, but I'm following the actual Josh on Instagram at this time. We had talked here and there. I would talk about fishing or something, like nothing too crazy or personal. He'd respond back to me and it was a very short conversation. I see on the Instagram reel, I think he had, where he picks up the bag that I had left and he's laughing about it. Like, what the hell is this thing? I felt like an idiot in the end because I don't think it was the actual person it was. So at that point, I was like, Josh isn't real. My mom and dad are like, this sounds oddly familiar. This just doesn't seem right. Seems like Mitch all over again. Me and my mom were like doing searches for the real Josh. The houses and stuff were under his mom's name. And the houses that were coming up under his mom's name were not the houses that were being sent to me, like pictures of. We're going down these rabbit holes, me and my mom, trying to do our little investigation. It sucked at that point because I was just like, am I being played? What is happening? It's funny because everybody comes into my life now and they're like, oh, we knew something was up back then. I'm like, why didn't you say anything back then? At the time, my friend at work, she had called my sister and she was like, hey, Jordan is just not doing well at work. She's not getting where she needs to be. And I feel like something's really wrong with this guy that she's talking to. I just wanted to let you know. So they talked to each other and were in the background, but nobody ever really said anything to me up front. I kind of wish they would, because I think that would have helped me realize maybe this person isn't right for me. I always tell people when I was in the narcissistic relationship, they're like, how did you stay with that person? I'm like, you don't understand the manipulation until you're in the relationship. I can't explain it any other way. Early August, Mitch comes back into play and he's emailing me at this point. Mitch and Josh started to become friends and they're hanging out. This is the craziest part of the story, I feel like, because they end up having a gay relationship. I just couldn't comprehend it at that point. I was like, what? You're dating now? You hated each other 5 minutes ago. Now you're dating? And they're still harassing me at this point because I'm like, I want nothing to do with you guys. They were texting me nonstop and I changed my number again. So that was the second time I changed my number. At that point, I was still talking to Mitch's sister, Kay. We were still good friends. I was still helping her go through her pregnancy and her baby daddy issues. She did not like Josh at all. She would talk about, I can't stand this dude. They're hanging out together now. She and I, we would vent about it. I think that's how they ended up getting my number again. And they're texting me and calling me from all these random numbers. So I'm always blocking every number I could. I think in total that I had record of, there was like 45 numbers throughout the 9 months. I remember being at work and they're calling my office nonstop because I'm not answering my phone. Within, I think it was a minute, they had texted me or called me 50 times, literally 50 times. I turn my phone off and they're calling my office. The ladies in the front office are calling me up to the front office and they're like, this has to stop or we have to do something about it. I'm like, I'm gonna lose my job. I had to basically talk to my boss about it and be like, hey, I don't have control over this situation. I wouldn't blame you if you let me go. At that point, I had been with them for quite a while, so I don't think they were going to do that, but I had to get everything in check.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Mitch was like, I'm sorry. Sending me all these love bombing emails. Like, you're my everything. I miss talking to you. And I did miss talking to this person because, again, at certain points when things were good, this person was my confidant. I could tell them anything. So me and Mitch start talking again. We decided we were going to go on vacation to St. Augustine together. I love St. Augustine. We used to go as kids. So I go up, I get the room. He's supposed to show up, doesn't show up. I end up making the best of my weekend there. I end up meeting somebody on Tinder and just hanging out with that person all weekend. Me and that person actually still talk today. We're still good friends. So we stopped talking because I'm like, I'm so over this stuff with him. I'm done for good this time. He kind of leaves me alone, doesn't talk to me. And then I had gone on Tinder. I matched with a guy named Matthew. We had talked for a little bit and we decided we were going to go on a date. So I go there. I'm waiting maybe 30 minutes and I'm texting the guy like, hey, are you coming? He's like, sorry, I drove by and I didn't like what I saw. Good luck. That was such a hurtful thing for me. Standing outside of a restaurant for 30 minutes, I should have never done that. Now I have like this rule that if they're not there within the first 10 minutes, you're gone. I was very, very upset. Lo and behold, who texts me right after? It's Mitch. So Mitch talks me down from the ledge the whole way home. And he's like, that guy's an idiot. And just helped me through it. We had reignited conversation at that point. He was super sweet to me again. He was talking to somebody that he had met on TikTok. So we were just at a friend phase at that point. We were not romantically engaged. He would tell me about her, that he really liked her. This person, Casey, he just really liked who she was. And I would hear her in the background. So going back on Tinder, I met with this Russian guy. I asked them to send me a picture because I was like, I need to start getting proof of stuff. So I asked him, I said, send me a picture of my name and you have to say my name. So he sends it and does it. So I'm like, okay, he's a real dude. I agreed to go on a date. Doesn't show up again. And so who consoled me again? It was Mitch. Also, like, I'm becoming friends with Kay a little more. Me and her start talking about, like, you know, maybe I should date a woman on TikTok. There's this chick, Ellen. She had a bunch of videos. I really liked her style and everything. And she seemed like a cool girl. So I messaged her and we start talking. And I started seeing traits of Josh. She started saying, I love you real early. Just little things that she would say. I'm like, this sounds like Josh. At one point I call them out and I'm like, Josh, why are you doing this to me? And then he like erupts with anger. Like he was caught. I was like, okay, this is Josh the whole freaking time. You're just messing with me. I had one more person that I had talked to after that, which again, similar thing, doesn't meet up. I think it was like four people that happened. Going on these dates, nobody would show up. So it was really like hurtful for a while. And I really had a bad complex after that. I was like, why don't people want me? Around October, Kay's sending me ultrasounds throughout the months. She's talking about the doctor's appointments. Me and her started a romantic relationship. She was bisexual also. And she's like, I feel like I'm falling for you. I really care about you over these months. I want you to be the twins' second mom. Mitch and Josh somehow find out that I am dating Mitch's sister. Mitch is like, if you hurt her, I swear to God, I'll kill you. Just being super crazy again. And I'm like, oh my God, here we go. And then Josh is messaging me back and forth. And he's saying, now you like women. What about her? Do you like? They were just like jealous messages. At that point, I hadn't really told anybody I was bisexual. I was just toying with the fact that I liked women, but I also liked men. They got so pissed off that Josh messaged my parents that I like women. And so I called my parents and I opened up to them and I told them, hey, I don't want you to find out this way. This is what I like. And they were a little shocked. They were very welcoming about it. They're like, it's fine. You love who you love. But then he also texts my ex-husband the same thing. And my husband's like, what the hell is happening? Kay ends up having the babies and she's stuck in the hospital for a bit. Her story in the hospital just seemed weird to me. She didn't want the baby's dad to be involved. The babies were born early, apparently, so they were preemies. She had to be in the hospital with them and the NICU. But I know enough about hospitals and people in NICU and all that stuff that the babies are there, but you don't stay in the hospital most of the time. They were there for quite a bit. She's like, they're not letting me outside. I can't do anything. Nobody's visiting me. And I'm like, what hospital are you? And I'm going to come visit you. Would not tell me the hospital. And then I'm like trying to call the hospitals in the area. Nobody could give me any information whether she was or wasn't at the hospital. That seemed shady. And I was like, I don't trust this. We did have phone sex. So that was a weird situation also, that we were becoming more intimate with each other, but I was still not trusting them at all. At this point, Mitch and I, we were talking, but I didn't have to be on the phone with him constantly because he was dating Casey and I didn't want to get involved too much. I was just there for moral support. The grandmother at one point had died. He was really down in the dumps, and I knew how close they were. End of November. Kay was in Texas visiting the baby daddy's family, and she didn't have a ride or a flight back home. She's like, I need money for a plane ticket. So I was like, all right, I'll send you money. Just pay me back. So she's like, all right, no problem. Late November, early December, I was going on TikTok, and on my For You page, it was almost like divine intervention. All of the profiles that I was being catfished with were coming across my feed within a day of each other. All of the real people's profiles. So I happened to message this one person, hey, somebody's catfishing with your pictures. I just wanted to let you know. And he tagged Casey and was like, you guys need to talk. Casey messages me and she's like, can you call me? Here's my number. So I call her and she starts telling me her story. She had only been talking to him a month or two. Kay was definitely in her story. The brother was in her story. The profiles was different people for me than it was for her. Her Mitch was Brandon in my story. In her story, the son was 12. And in my story, the son was like 2 or 3. In her story, the father had died. In my story, the grandmother had died. Come to find out that the grandmother was alive and well, I'm like, what the hell? And he did the same thing that he did with me, where he was like, I'll take care of your bills. You focus on your business and I'll take care of the house. It was just so crazy to me that our stories aligned this much and that we had all these things in common. Then we're talking and she's like, yeah, he was always on the phone with his grandma. And I'm like, I was the freaking grandma. I was the grandmother in the story the entire time. And she was still her. She was just the TikTok girl that he was dating. But he did tell me like a lot about her that was accurate. But for me, I was literally the grandmother the entire time he was talking to her. The only difference between our stories is that she actually met Mitch.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Casey continues to tell me the story, and she says, I just had this person stay with me for like 3 weeks. And I was like, wait, you actually met this person? And she said, yeah, I was at one of those TikTok conventions on the way back. She tells him, I'm going to pick you up, because it was similar circumstances where he wasn't meeting her. And she's like, I want to know why. I guess he had liked her so much that he came out to her and was saying, hey, I'm not actually who I say I am. But she's like, I'm so in love with this person. If this connection is real, then whoever they are, she's just open to it. So she goes and picks him up. Come to find out that Mitch is a trans person in the process of transitioning from female to male. There are certain things that I had talked about with this person that now made sense. It all clicked at that point when she told me that. Every rush of emotion just came out of everywhere. I felt hurt. I felt betrayed. And it was also scary. Now I know why, when they were stalking me, I never saw the real Mitch. The real picture that I was looking for in my head was not who it was. It was actually this other person who looks completely different from the picture that I was looking for. So they could have very well been there at all points in time, and I just never knew. After I had found out, I hadn't told anybody yet. I was still processing everything. Casey had a bunch of her friends also worried about her. So they were doing their own little investigation. So we had this like group of investigator women that were finding out all of the parts and pieces of who Mitch actually was. The person who I thought was the dad in the background all the time was actually a family friend of Mitch. Mitch was supposedly a couch surfer. Me, Casey, and this group of women, we're on the phone talking to this family friend of Mitch, explaining our situation and everything. He's talking about his grandkids. I'm assuming that all the grandkids' pictures that he has were the ones that were the kids that we were seeing in our stories. So Mitch is now playing this guy who's just loaning his couch. Casey and I, we decide we're going to go on a TikTok live together. So we go on and we're talking about the story. Mitch finds out that Casey and I are on this live together and they're obviously watching and find out that the cat's out of the bag. They reach out to me and said, hey, I need to explain myself. Will you please answer the phone and let me tell the truth? I said, you have like 5 minutes. I'm asking every question in the book as much as I can. And they're trying to push it off in their confession. The night that I was in St. Pete, they were at that restaurant watching me cry and laughing at me. I had asked, why did you do this? Was it a boredom thing at first? And they said, yeah. And then it just kind of got out of hand. They just kept playing into it. So it really hurt. I was very angry. And I probably said things in this discussion that I should have never said, but I did say them. And I'm like, why me? Why did I get picked for you guys to mess with? You guys have nothing better to do with your lives. I say guys because I don't know if it was multiple people. Because I was like, who's Kay? Who's Josh? Which really is hard for me sometimes because I'll wake up at night and I'll sit there and think, I still don't have those answers. He said that Kay was his real sister. I don't know if that's necessarily true. The voice that I was talking to was very feminine, very Southern. It was very different from the Mitch that I was talking to. Josh, I never talked on the phone with, so I'm assuming Mitch was also Josh. It was the only explanation that I can really think of because the real Josh blocked me off of all of his social media accounts. He even messaged me. He's like, are you the girl that's talking about the catfish thing? I'm not that person. You need to leave me alone. So I felt really bad about that. If that person ever listens, I apologize for thinking it was somebody else. I ended up spending throughout the 9 months, it was about $4,000 in total that I will never recoup. I just had to eat that one. I didn't necessarily threaten Mitch. I just said, be prepared for somebody to be at your door at some point in time. And they're like, why are you going to do that? I'm telling you, I'm going to leave you alone. I wanted them to feel at that point what they made me feel for months. I wanted them to feel that now somebody's coming after you did that to me for so long. And I told them, I said, I made the IC3 report, so it's in the system. You're in the system now. This has been a couple of years now that they haven't talked to me. I'm sure everybody's like, well, why are you doing this? Why are you coming out about this now? I want to be able to warn other people. Casey and I, we think that they probably are still doing this to other people. I know there was one other instance with another person on TikTok that they were talking to, but she kind of figured it out quickly. So that didn't last with her. We still think it's happening. They use this as their lifestyle in order to get money from people to live their life. It's sad. The lack of empathy for somebody to actually do this to somebody is just mind baffling. After this whole thing, I basically stopped posting videos. I stopped going on social media just because it was a fear and I didn't want to go through any of that again. On the Something Was Wrong podcast, I had heard a couple of the stories and I got hooked on the podcast because I was like, oh my gosh, somebody else is like me. Somebody else has gone through something similar. And almost all the things in the story were everything I went through. And it was like, there's so many people out there that are doing this to people. Certain triggers definitely get me. There was a guy I was recently seeing and something wasn't right. He was asking for money early on. And I'm like, nope, been there, done that, not doing that. I stopped meeting with him. I blocked him. He found a way to get to me through my Cash App and requested money on Cash App in order to talk to me. Didn't need the money, but just needed to talk to me. And he's like, you're the only person I can talk to. And I've been trying to reach you for like a week. This recently happened a month or two ago. And it brought everything back. It was just like, oh my God, is this person affiliated with Mitch? I literally cried. I went dormant for the whole weekend. I couldn't talk to anybody because I was just like in a shell. I'm like, I was terrified. I was like, this isn't happening again.
I keep finding different fake profiles and I notice there's a pattern. I'm so good at finding these patterns now because of my experience. It's usually like three good photos that look very AI-ish when you start talking to them and they always lead you to WhatsApp. It's easier to detect now. I asked Casey if she wanted to be involved in this and she said that I could tell her story, but she's trying to move on with her life. I told her I would respect her wishes, but she was okay with me telling her story. So she did give me permission for that. It's really hard for some people to tell their stories about this and to explain because people will just judge you. They like to victim blame. It has a positive impact sometimes, but it also has a negative impact on survivor stories in that aspect. For me personally, I try to tell anybody I talk to, any new dating person I talk to, I tell my story. I'm getting my story out there no matter what. I just feel like I need to tell whoever, because if they've been through similar circumstances, I have another ally there. And I do find people like friends and family that have had similar things happen that have been able to reach out and talk to me. I would say, don't judge somebody until you've walked in their shoes. When you're in the moment of the manipulation and the emotional abuse, when somebody's blackmailing you, you don't realize the fear. And that's what's the driver of all of this. I couldn't get out of this situation because I was in fear that they were going to post things or they were going to hurt themselves or they were going to do something to my kids or me or my family. Don't judge somebody. Just listen and be there as a comforting shoulder to cry on or as a hug, because we need that when it comes down to it. I survived this and I got through it and I'm here. I'm a great mom still. I'm rocking it in my career and everything. There is a light at the end of the tunnel and you can move forward and you can keep going. Listening to your gut, that's one thing that I've learned to do over the last few years, is your gut is literally the best thing in your body. If something feels wrong, it probably is. And there's no need to second guess it. Your body is telling you what you need. Also, just find your resources in your tribe. I have some really great people in my life that have been there for me and have been a great support system as far as my family and my friends. I would say talk to somebody, get therapy, get help. Therapy was one of the biggest things to get me back to a good place in my life. After this whole situation, I cried myself to sleep. I don't know how many nights I screamed, I threw things. It was basically, from what the therapist said to me, a death, because I had this person in my life and now they were gone. Therapy was literally the only thing that got me out of my hole. And I'm so happy that I was able to let it out and talk to somebody, because I think if I didn't, I don't know whether I would necessarily be here. I didn't trust anybody anymore. And it's helped me understand how to trust people again. It helped me process things a little easier and helped me realize things that I didn't necessarily realize before. Past traumas that I have had or things in my upbringing that I didn't really notice made me the way I am. The choices I made were because of things that had happened in my past. So it just brought a lot out of me that I didn't realize. I'm a big proponent of therapy, and if it's the right person, then definitely let it all out, because it's definitely a great outlet. That and music. I mean, I love music of any type. I'm a very big heavy metal fan. I'm one of those soccer moms that like rock out to I Prevail in the car.
One of the songs that helped me in the end was Happier Than Ever by Billie Eilish. I had that on repeat, and I don't know why. It was like such an anthem for me at that time. I tell people I have a high expectation for a good reason, and I'm not willing to settle for anything that is less than I deserve.
Thank you so much. We appreciate your vulnerability, your honesty, your care in telling us everything, and your care in making this world a better place for other people who are listening. I am appreciative that you were willing to leave yourself open, not only to sharing, but also to listening to other people's stories. It's solace to know we aren't alone, but it can be triggering to hear other people's stories and hear how rampant this behavior is.
I appreciate you letting me do this because it does help a lot to tell the story and get it out there. It's just amazing what you guys do, and I hope this helps somebody out there.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
During our junior year, 2022, the Idaho murders happened when four college students were tragically murdered at the University of Idaho in Moscow. This was a couple states over from where Grace and I were students. All of our social media feeds were filled with this sort of true crime coverage of the ongoing investigation. And as I was watching all of this content come out and starting to see reputable news sources and also creators alike putting out podcasts in real time about this investigation, I started to wonder how all of this media attention was actually impacting the investigation.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.